if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 337. This is our 2025 Farmers Insurance Open and RAS Al-Khaimah Championship Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Visit our world-famous Golf Betting System website where we have in-depth betting previews for both events. We've got Torrey Pines and Alhambra Golf Club strokes gained rankings. Form stats, plus, of course, new and old predictor models for all of the golf action this week. All of our content is available across both events, completely free of charge with no paywall. We are available on X. You can follow Barry at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We are now on Blue Sky. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Don't forget as well the 5-star button on Spotify. Give that a press. We are very, very short now on reviews. So please give us some reviews. Write some 5-star reviews. I could be reading yours out next week. This one is entitled First Class Podcast, 5 stars. I have enjoyed listening to all the podcasts. Very insightful every week. With great stats and knowledge. Superb banter between Steve, Paul and Barry. Long may it continue. That's from our old friend, Paul, Neil Fay. And Neil is in the UK. Neil, thank you for your time and attention on that. Much appreciated.
Cheers, Neil.
Brilliant. Cheers, Neil. Yes, much appreciated. And I'm sure we'll catch up with you at some point in the future for another beer or two.
We had a pint with Neil in the rain at Wentworth, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
In September.
Sounds very romantic.
We were timing our runs, Barry, so there was minimal cues for the beer. Paul and I have made a career out of that.
I'd expect nothing less from you, Steve.
I think we were there at the bars opened at 12, although we turned up at 11 hoping that we could get a drink and we couldn't. And yeah, we were back in the queue at about 11:55. We were forming the queue, weren't we, Paul?
Elbows out.
Right. I'm going to quickly just... I want to put this out there. First things first, if you are consuming this podcast on YouTube, would love you to hit the like button. If we could actually get 100 likes this week, that would be really great. So if you're listening to this on YouTube, press that like button. 100 likes would be fantastic. Of course, subscribe too. The channel, that would be much appreciated. Right, Paul, quickly run us through the 2025 Golf Betting System Majors Competition, sponsored by Bet365.
Yeah, actually we're getting lots of entries coming through. What I'll do, actually, on the next blank week I have, which I think is when they leave the Middle East before they go over to India, I think there's a week there. So what I'll do in that week is I'll collate the... Mm-hmm. Entries to date, and I'll give all of the listeners a little heads up as to who the trending and most picked players are for the four majors. That'll be a nice little bit of analysis and insight, I think. But if you want to enter, and if you've done something before, it's exactly the same as previous years. It's a one and done. We want one different name for each of the four majors. Get them entered into us via Twitter or X, Facebook, email, whatever your preferred route is. We'll jot down all the names. We'll create a leaderboard. You'll get points allocated based on the dollar earnings of the player that you picked for each of the majors. We'll create a little leaderboard. And the winner at the end of that four events at the end of the Open Championship will receive £150 or currency equivalent as a prize, £75 to the second player, £25 to the third placed entrant. So yeah, dead simple. Four names, four different names for one for each of the majors, please.
If you're 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account, you can find details of their brand new Bet £10, get £50 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in this podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code, I'm going to say it this week, SPORT50 when registering. Thanks to Bet365 for sponsoring that. We actually had an entry at 3 minutes to one UK time this morning from Paul Brophy. So if you're listening, Paul, thanks very much for your competition entry. Right. Let's talk last week. I think we need to be in mourning, chaps. We missed out. I mean, I might book myself into the Priory. We missed out on a Sepp Straka victory on Bermuda Grass Greens at 66-1. Just recapping on my strokes gain data from last week. He was fourth for approach going into the tournament. 10th for tee to green. And he was in the top 12. Actually, Paul, he was level with someone that you put up, Wyndham Clark. He was 12th for strokes gained current form heading into the event at 66-1. And none of us had a penny on him. So congratulations, guys.
Took us all working together as a team to talk ourselves into not backing him. There's some good.
Oh, of course. We were both on him the week before,
yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, yeah. There were some good signs from before, but I think we had a preamble before the pod, and we mentioned him and then talked today quickly that we don't see him as having trends in his career of going deep low in scoring. And that's how we talked ourselves out of it. And of a professional golfer who can just play good golf and win.
This keeps happening though, Barry. I mean, Hideki Matsuyama was never going to get to 36 under, was he?
That's two weeks in a row, so we need to remove that never going to from our repertoire. Yeah.
Yeah, let's make a pact. Let's make a group pact. Just because they haven't doesn't mean they can't.
Mm-hmm. This could be that
year. It's all
year.
Relative.
Do you remember last year was all crazy winners? This could be the year of never. He's never going to do that. Yeah, he will. So,
Yeah, you've got to live and learn, haven't you? I got a push notification from Betfred on Wednesday, suggesting that I backed Sepp Straka, and I just took one look at it and thought, no wonder that.
Oh God.
And the rest is history. Yeah, we all managed to contrive to miss him. Barry, were you on in the first 2 weeks, actually?
I think so, yeah. I didn't want to think about it. As soon as I saw him up there, I knew I was in trouble. And on Saturday, I said, right, I'm going to go back him just for an emotional hedge. And just as I was about to get the bet on, he stuffed it into 17 and his exchange odds went from 9 to 4.5.
That is true, listeners, because Barry did send me a screen grab. So Barry he's talking the truth here.
Now, I'd say if I'd hung on a moment before the birdie put, it might have gone out to 5 or 6. But by that stage, I was so furious, I just left it and didn't put the bet on. So, yeah, I got the full maximum masochistic pain. And now I know what it feels like to be Steve. So that's a good insight into my to my friend's psyche.
Now, I thought that clearly Ryder Cup year, Sepp played in the last one, could be a key part of the team this year. I thought, it would be it's a fantastic step forward for him. Then you look at the current race to get into the Ryder Cup team. And I became aware, his victory in the American Express, no points went towards his Ryder Cup qualification because the American Express was on the same week as the Dubai Desert Classic. So it clashed. And there's a rule that says any points from a non-DP World Tour event that are gathered do not count in a week where there is a Rolex Series event. So there you go.
There's I understand that for the DP World Tour, support the tour. This, you know, you're playing for Europe, so fine with that rule. This is still going to get him a captain's pick, right? There's no way he's not going to get picked unless his form.
No, plummets. Agree with that. Agree with that. Yeah,
yeah, his form would have to drop right off, wouldn't it? Mm. By then, but yeah, it feels a bit harsh, doesn't it? Given that he's gone out there and won a a top class event over on the PGA Tour.
It seems a little strange that you've got LIV players that go and play DP World Tour and win DP World Tour events, and all of those points are fine. But then you've got someone that's abided by the rules playing a PGA Tour event and then not accruing any points whatsoever because it's clashing with a Rolex Series DP World Tour event. It's all a bit weird.
Do you reckon this rule was made up?
That's my opinion.
When was the rule made up, though? Do you reckon it was done 2 or 3 years ago when it was a bit more acrimonious? They just didn't revise it. I mean, look, yeah.
Who knows?
I can't see, unless something mad happens, I can't see a situation where he's not playing for us in September. So,
I thought I'd get some stats out there. I said that I'd do this every week. Now, I took the 36 holes that they played at PGA West last week, the stadium course. Yeah. So, of course, it was a 72-hole contest over three courses. But these were the top players at the stadium course in terms of strokes gained. Right, OK. T5, Max Graziman and Justin Thomas. I was on Max Graziman. So I got 33-1 each way return. And don't forget, I took lower odds to get the full 10 places. And it worked a treat because, effectively, I got a full each-way return. The next place was T11, so there were 10 players. Mm. So it worked perfectly. Graziman and JT were T5 for 36 holes around the stadium course. Four was Sepp Straka. Was I correct in thinking that it took until, was it the 15th on Sunday before he actually made his first bogey?
17th.
I mean, that is phenomenal.
Or was it 16th? Yeah, something like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 16th, I think. Crazy, man. What a performance. But then, that's like, is the course set up too easy? Or are the courses set up too easy for that?
Yeah, I think you still got to play well, though, haven't you?
Yeah,
sure.
A lot of mine were thrown in bogeys, I know that. Three was Trey Mullinax. Now, that's a name that we haven't come across recently. I mean, it's just, I go through this kind of stuff just to make sort of loose notes. Three was Trey Mullinax. Two was Alex Smalley, who is playing some fantastic golf right now. And number one, so 36 holes, PGA West, the best player, Nick Taylor, yet again. Mm. Right, okay. Dubai Desert Classic, Tyrrell Hatton, the victor at 9-1. Paul, what did you take from Dubai last week?
Yeah, it's a little annoying, isn't it, when you get a player who's, many punters are going to swerve him because at 9-1, particularly when you've got Rory ahead of him in the market, it's a tough bet to make unless you're super convinced he's going to win that. But one thing you'll say about Hatton is he does seem to raise his game for these Rolex Series or big events. So that's the fifth Rolex Series win for Hatton in his career. The other three he won on the DP World Tour are all Dunhill Links tournaments. So he comes to the fore on those big, big yielding in terms of prize money events. But yeah, he played well. I thought he'd played himself, not out of it, but he made his job harder on Thursday with the way he finished. And then from there, he was really, really good. And I was on Rory. He's still the favourite going into Friday, but just a really flat Friday, really flat Saturday, and didn't really get going until Sunday, which was far too late. And with John Rahm having blown up earlier in the tournament, the door was wide open for him to go and win yet another Dubai event, yet another Dubai Desert Classic. But yeah, it just wasn't quite there. His approach play wasn't quite there. His putting wasn't quite there. And Hatton was. He was good. So yeah, one to write off, and we go again this week.
Question for you two. Of the majors this year, What major do you think suits Tyrrell Hatton the best? Because as Paul said, I mean, this guy is a prestigious talent. He wins Rolex Series events like it's going out of fashion. He has had major top 10 finishes, but I can't bring to the front of my mind a major where he's been in the white heat of contention.
No. I think of the four, generally, it's going to be the Open that gives him the best chance every year. But it's still the temperament. And yes, I know that's Tyrrell and you're going to get it. He's never going to change. He kind of plays up to it now. And it's to be expected. But if you're going to go and win a major championship, I think you need to have a calmer demeanour for 4 days. And perhaps he'll learn it. Perhaps he'll get his head around it. Perhaps he'll snare one at some point in his career. But
I think it's good that he's just joking about his venting. Like, of course, the social media and the news, like he hit the T marker. But he jokes about it now, so he realises and he's kind of self-aware about it. Probably always was aware he was a bit of a hothead, but that's his venting. And until somebody says you can't do that or fine him enough money, he'll continue to do that and it settles his mind and keeps him in a place where he can go off and win.
Yeah.
So he's rounding into a situation or mentally where I think he could be capable of getting involved in the majors. He should be.
Yeah.
I mean, and I kind of agree with you, Paul. Like, the Open is a very good shout. And maybe the US Open.
See, I was going to say, I don't think he's got the temperament for a US Open. I don't think he's got the pure power for a PGA Championship. But you actually look at his Open record. His best ever major finish was at Royal Troon in 2016. Finished fifth. And interestingly, and we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when we went through the major venues this year, he was sixth at Royal Port Rush in the 2019 Open. Mm. So, yeah. I wouldn't disagree with you guys. Open, yeah. I think Open's the best shout for Harren in a major.
Yeah,
that would be my answer. Just wanted to point out as well, a Ryder Cup player, that's game is in a complete shambles at the moment, and it's sad to see. Now, these were the strokes gained rankings of Victor Hovland, who missed the cut in Dubai. He was 114th for strokes gained off the tee, which is just, I mean, that guy's game was built on long, straight driving. 114th for strokes gained off the tee. 104th for strokes gained on approach and 114th for strokes gained tee to green when missing the cut in Dubai last week. It's a shame to see, really is.
Yeah, he's struggling, isn't he? And, you know, it's been well documented about his split from his coach again, and he's struggling with that broken toe that, what did he, he was getting out of bed or something, wasn't it, over the festive period, did something to bust his toe. I know what it can be, quite a long, painful recovery from a broken toe. I broke one here a year or two ago, and I must say it was probably 4 to 6 months before it felt 100% better. So, you know, it could be a while that he's struggling with that. We'll see. But yeah, it's not right, Steve. You're 100% right there.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's early, it's January, I know it's 1 degree outside and it's foggy, and we're talking about the Ryder Cup in September, you know, which is going to be in a sultry, sweaty New York State golf course. But when you look at Victor and the way the state of his game, John Rahm, the way that he was playing, there's a lot of our big hitters at the moment that aren't playing great golf. So you want to see the likes of Rahm and Hovland starting to hit their straps as we build up to the Ryder Cup from a Team Europe perspective. There's no doubt about that. And we know that, you know, it's the same with America, of course. There are players over there that have got issues. You know, Scheffler's can't play at the moment. You've got Jordan Spieth can't play at the moment. So, there's big question marks across both squads at the moment, which is good for other players because it gives them opportunity to qualify. But yeah, I thought Victor, his game is it's not in a great state right now. Needs to find something from somewhere or somebody. Maybe he needs to go and see Butch Harmon. Because old Butch, he hasn't done a bad job with Harry Hall recently. He's been playing the best golf of his career.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just a fresh perspective and a little bit of advice and things can start going back in the right direction.
Right, let's talk this week's golf. Farmers Insurance Open. Let's start with this. Now, this always, I used to, you know, the Farmers Insurance Open, it's iconic. It's Torrey Pines. It's US Open. It's Tiger Woods dominating. A lot of people still classify this as the real start of the PGA Tour. You know, those iconic views over the Pacific at La Jolla, just north of San Diego. I have to say that this year's field is the worst I've ever seen. And they're dropping like flies. The amount of WDs in this tournament is amazing. We had Colin Morikawa WD'd on Sunday. Højgaard brothers were going to play. Both of those have withdrawn. We had Akshay Bhatia withdraw yesterday. So the biggest hitters we got this week are Hideki Matsuyama, Ludvig Åberg, Keegan Bradley, Sahith Theegala, Sungjae Im, Tony Finau, Shane Lowry. I mean, it's not a disastrous field by any stretch. And we've got DP World Tour graduates there like Rikuyu Oshino. Tristan Lawrence is making his PGA Tour debut this week, the South African. Matteo Manassero noticeably made the cut last week over in Palm Springs. And interestingly, Niklas Norgaard makes his PGA Tour bow this week. Antoine Rosner and Jesper Svensson of the PGA Tour graduates from the DP World Tour, all in the field. But I have to say, when you're literally getting Matt Neesmith and Garrick Higo entering the field, who are way down on the FedEx Cup last year, that just shows you the state of the PGA Tour at the moment and the two-tier nature of it. There is a rumour, I believe, that the Genesis Invitational, which will not be able to be played at Riviera Country Club because of the fires in Los Angeles, could well be being played here in a couple of weeks' time. Is that something you caught on Twitter over the weekend?
Yeah. That's got something to do with a pretty reasonable reason why people have pulled out, not wanting to play the course twice in the space of a few weeks. So,
two courses this week. The South Course, this is a monster. 7,765 yard at sea level, par 72. He had a Rhys Jones renovation in 2019 prior to the 2021 US Open, which was run, of course, by John Rahm. That's another thing. A lot of there's quite a few players that used to play this that went off to live. And I mean, John Rahm would play this every single year. He absolutely loved the golf course and, you know, linked to the area, blah, blah, blah. Xander used to live around here, isn't playing this week. It's a wee bit strange to me. But it's a shame because you've got iconic tournaments like this that aren't signature events that are getting weaker fields because of the structure now. And that for me, again, it's a negative on the tour right now. They also play one round either Wednesday or Thursday. Worth pointing out that this is a Wednesday start this week. So get your bets in early. It starts on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday finish. They play one round at Torrey Pines North Course. Now, that's a Tom Weisskopf design, or Tom Weisskopf redesign, rather, 2016. Medium length golf course, that one. It's only 7,258 yards as a par 72, but you can shoot really low there. The greens there, 6,000 square feet on average the size. They are bent grass. Of course, the greens on the South Course are our first view in 2025 of Poana. Poana greens, not to everybody's liking. Before I move on, I thought I would just use the predictor model to point out the top 10 players on Poana Greens over the last 5 years on the PGA Tour. One, Max Homa. Two, Jason Day. Tie for third, Daniel Berger and Luke List. I'm getting this from our predictor model. Five is Justin Rose. A tie for sixth then, Tony Finau, Hideki Matsuyama, Will Zalatoris, and Matteo Pavon. And in 10th place, Maverick McNealy. Below those, Bo Hosler, Harris English, Keegan Bradley, Nate Lashley, who got a top four here last year, then Sahith Degala. So those are players that have got history and form on Poana Greens, the likes of which you find at Pebble Beach, the likes of which you also find at Riviera Country Club. When you look at this, I'm just looking for players this week who have excellent form on classical United States golf courses. That's a great link in. Could be Bay Hill, could be Colonial, could be Muirfield Village, where they play the Memorial at Jack Nicklaus's event. Riviera Country Club, of course, where they play the Genesis, is fantastic form as well. And then last year, of course, Matteo Pavon, who was a DP World Tour graduate, turned up. He'd had a top 10 finish at the Sony Open. He'd backed that up with mid-30s, I think, at PGA West. Hadn't played the courses. Just wiped out the event, 125-1. So this idea that you must have course form and blah, 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 Pavon blew that one away. That trend completely disintegrated last year by Matteo Pavon, who won at 125s, beating another DP World Tour graduate, Nikolai Højgaard. So I do think there is a European view here. The grasses, the Kikuyu grass that's mixed into the rough. There's also the temperatures here, noticeable this week. Starting off at a very nice 18 to 20 degrees. Then over the weekend, it gets far colder. I hate these bloody Wednesday start. Friday drops to 15, apparently 12 degrees Celsius on Sunday, and it's blowing 20 to 25 miles an hour. So Sunday is going to be interesting viewing.
You mean Saturday?
Saturday. I should have put a post-it note on the screen just to sort of list the days. Anything to say before we move on? Anything I've missed?
No, I know it kind of it always ends up being a mid-score kind of total. Yeah. But if you took the North Course out of it, then I think it would be pretty firmly categorised as a tough technical event. So I think the North Course kind of muddies that water, because it is so starkly different in terms of difficulty and scoring average when they go around there. So I tend to be looking for players personally who don't mind a grind, can get themselves embroiled in a tougher test.
Another thing I'll say, the five of the last six winners have all started on the North Course on Wednesday. Mm. They've all gone North Course, South Course on the Thursday. The only exception was Max Homa, who we were all on board, 2023. I got that wrong. It was Luke List in 2022. He went south for his opening round and north for his second round. They tend to put the more elite players on the north on the Wednesday and the south on the Thursday. Prices of winners here is interesting. Tend to be the kind of area that we like to bet on. So Matteo Pavon, 125-1. He is an outlier, it has to be said. Max Homa, 25-1. Luke List, 90-1. Patrick Reed, 25-1. We had Mark Leishman, 55-1. Justin Rose, 14-1 favourite. I think that year he became world number one that week in 2019. I think by winning this, he became or recaptured world number one from memory. Right, I've gone for four. Oh, one last thing on strokes gained. Now, of course, this is only across three rounds on the north, on the south course. 59% of the last four victors, 59% have been from strokes gained tee to green, 41% from strokes gained on the greens. Now, that's getting kind of Kapalua-esque from a few weeks ago when 51% was tee to green and a whopping 49% was on the greens. So all of a sudden, you've got a 60-40 split between tee to green and 40% on the green. So Team No Putt will struggle this week. You've got to have a player that can make good positive putts on Poana putting surfaces traditionally to get the job done here. I think a lot of that makes sense because quite clearly, because these greens are large, because you're coming in at a lot of distance, you know, you're not coming in with wedges, you're coming in with mid irons on a lot of these holes. And because these greens can get a little bit firm, they can actually release, believe it or not. I know it's only January, but I couldn't actually find a month within the last 3 to 4 months where there'd actually been any note of precipitation. So it could be that this golf course, the only rain or precipitation or moisture it's been seeing is purely what's being hosed onto it. If they wanted to, they could get these greens potentially releasing quite early. Now, it's the PGA Tour and I doubt they will. But there have been years here in the past where literally the players say from Wednesday, oh, I couldn't believe how fast and firm the greens were.
Yeah.
So again, that keeps a lid on scoring. Right, I've gone for four. My first bet, I kept reviewing this. Who was I going to go for? And I kept thinking of reasons not to back this guy. And I'm catching myself doing it. And in the end, I just had to say, right, it's not the best of fields. This guy has got a lot of reasons to actually play some really strong golf this week. He's only won once on the PGA Tour. I know this sounds ridiculous for a guy of his ability, but don't forget he's still young, fairly inexperienced at the top level. I think this golf course is absolutely made for him. So I thought I would back Ludvig Åberg. He wasn't the favourite at the time, but he's been backed into favourite overnight. Ludvig Åberg, I've gone 3 points each way, 11 to 1 with Bet365, 8 places each way on the talented Swede. Ninth here last year on his tournament debut, and he wasn't playing great golf, believe it or not. He'd finished 47th at the Century, and he'd finished 30th at the Sony Open. And his tee to green numbers at the start of 2024 were pretty poor. He arrives here playing a lot better. 13th for tee to green, 8th for total driving and 11th for ball striking. That was what he achieved last year over the 54 holes on the south course. He's playing a lot sweeter right now. Played quite a lot of golf at the end of last year, if you actually noticed. He played the RSM Classic. I think he then played the Hero Challenge. He's already played the Century, where he was in the top five. I just couldn't get away from Ludvig Åberg not being a feature of the first page of the leaderboard come Saturday. So I'm on 11-1 with Bet365, 8 place each way via their each way extra facility. I have now got 25-1, 33-1 and 55-1 selections, chaps. Paul, where are you coming in at?
I've got a couple this week. One of them is going to be a team bet, I'm sure, in that 33-1 bracket, so we can cover that when we get there, and a three-figure chance as well.
Interesting. Paul, Barry, can we have your first selection, please, of the week?
The first one I had in mind for this is Will Zalatoris. I've also... I've another one. I think he's actually just a bit shorter, but Zalatoris was in my head for the last couple of weeks for this. Just like what I'm seeing out of his long game, just getting the reps in, coming back from his injury, from the surgery on his back, and it's that merged with the classical golf course. He's, in my mind, he plays that style of course very well, and so it was more the idea of it popped in my head rather than stats. I looked for stats to back up the idea rather than the other way around. And there's enough there in what I've seen recently to make me happy enough to go with the bet.
He's actually put on 15 pound of muscle in the winter to just make sure that back's nice and protected. And I must admit, I watched him early on Sunday at the Amex, and he was literally just striping it down the middle of the fairways. And I thought, Will, he can. When you looked at him in the past, he wasn't the most accurate of drivers. That was probably his weakness. As soon as he got, you know, his approach play, he's around the green, and we know that he can be a very patchy putter, but even that's been a lot more consistent of late. But yeah, I'm on Zalatoris as well. 25-1 I got with William Hill, 8 places each way on first show yesterday on 2 points I put on Will Zalatoris. Again, like Oberg, the kind of guy that will be coming here thinking, I want to play well. I've, again, only won once on the PGA Tour. I've got plenty to prove. It's Ryder Cup year. It's a weak field. Let's get in the mix. Let's get up. And don't forget, this guy should have won it a few years ago. He had a putt on 18 to win the tournament. And then I think he led. He had an 8-foot putt on 18 to clinch the title. I think he'd led pretty much all of at least Friday and most of Saturday. Let it slip and got beat by all people. Luke List. In a playoff. So I think Zalatoris has something to prove here.
His record here is good, though, right?
He's an out-of-date player, isn't he? This is the kind of guy that plays major championship golf. And the PGA Tour now, where you're having to shoot 23 under, 25 under, 27 under to win a golf tournament, is not Will Zalatoris' wheelhouse in the slightest. So to see him finish 12th at a birdie fest last week was just the thumbs up, right? Will, Torrey Pines, got to be done.
Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to cut across. But his record here is excellent, aside from that second place. He's a 7th and a 13th last year. There was a miscut a couple of years ago. That can happen around this course. I don't think anybody had something close to a perfect record. Like miscuts can pop into anybody's history at this venue. So,
also, Barry, 4th 2023 and 2nd last year with his game pretty much in bits at Riviera Country Club. So, yeah, pretty perfect, I think, Will Zalatoris. Paul, do you want to take us through what you think is going to be our community bet?
I'll be astounded if it's not. And he's certainly been very popular in general since the markets came up, and that's Max Homer. I got him early yesterday at 35-1. I'm just looking now; he's been backed in 30s at best, and still dipping in terms of price. So I'm sure he's going to continue to be a popular pick, but not a great season for Max last year, really. But then he started to show a little bit, didn't he, at the back end of last year? First round leader at the Ned Bank over on the DP World Tour, 4th all the way into Sunday. Some decent numbers that came out of that as well. 7th for off the tee, 8th for approach, 3rd for tee to green. Don't forget the Ned Bank over there, Sun City. That's a proper classical style course. It's long. It is at altitude, so the altitude brings the yardage down, but the physical walk is not dissimilar to what you'd expect around the South Course this week. So played well there. Decent enough at the Century. Tied 26th, 4 rounds in the 60s. This is much more up his alley, I think. And talking about the Poana stats, as you highlighted on the predictor, top for that. And he's in a lot of the variables, a lot of the different factors that you could pump into this week to determine who is most likely to win. Max Homer is there or thereabouts on so many of the statistics. It's just all pointing us in that direction. Won this in 2023, as we said, 13th when defending last year. I think he can feature quite heavily, or very heavily, this year.
If you had a Unibet account and you were brave, well, not brave as such, but took the six places, they had him chalked up on first shot 40-1. Mm. Clearly, that is long gone. 40-1 Unibet on Max Homer. Who did you get 35s with? Was that 365?
No, early. No, that was Betfair. Early on. But yeah, okay. Didn't last long.
Me too.
Didn't last long.
Barry's in. I was just going to say, I'd be astounded if Barry wasn't on Max for this week.
Yeah, I got the 35s. So I finally just pulled a trigger early on a bet instead of making my bets when we're recording the show. So, hey, look, let's see. Let's see what happens. Hopefully we can take away some of the Straka pain from last week.
Community bet, I'm on at 33-1 with Betfred, 8 places each way via their pick your place market, Max Homer. I hope it's not like, this is a knee-jerk reaction to all missing out on Sepp Straka last week. And Max is going to go and miss the cut, of course. But yeah, so Homer for all three of us. I am finishing at 55-1. The big hit in German, who Paul poo-pooed for his Ryder Cup aspirations, Stefan Jaeger. The Jaeger bombs. I'm on at 55-1 with Betfred, 8 places each way again. Finished 4th here last year. Was the 36 and 54 hole leader. Now ensconced, love that word, within the world's top 50. Ended last year very nicely. Second at the Black Desert Championship. Long golf course where you could hit the ball a mile. And then noticeably, third at the Sony Open a fortnight ago. So clearly in good nick. Just seems to have raised his game, doesn't he? He was always a Corn Ferry grad who could never win on the PGA Tour. And then that disappeared last year because he won around that long testing golf Houston Memorial Park golf course the week before the Masters, got him into the Masters. So I think Jaeger's, he's one of those that's jumped a couple of levels in the last 12, 15 months. Would not be surprised to see Jaeger in the mix. Again, Paul pointed this out a while ago, Jaeger's real strength and how he won it last year, he shot a very solid 4-under par on the South course on Wednesday and then 7-under 65 on the North course on the Friday to get him into that 36-hole lead. He has got form on the North course. He can go very low around there. And then it's just a case of holding on for grim death across the weekend. So I'm on Stefan Jaeger, a point each way, 55-1 with Betfred. That is my final selection. So Jaeger, Homer, Zalatoris, Ludvig Åberg for me. Any more for you, Barry, before we go on to Paul's 100-1 plus shot?
We're going to be in trouble together, Steve. I also had Jaeger on my head before I saw your tips. So, yeah, what can we do? There's good recent form, good result last year. Let's see what happens.
He just seems a better player, doesn't he? More confident in himself, holds himself.
Look, the driving accuracy. One of the last times I saw him out, when he was finished third, he should have won. There were a lot of lefts. With the driver, so much so that he went to hit 3-wood, and that then seemed to have cost him by hitting 3-wood on the 18th, put himself in the bunker when
that's right.
It was a pretty easy, pretty straightforward par 5, and not an easy birdie, but it was definitely quite a good chance at it. And so, look, maybe between then and now, he's gone off and sorted the driver, so he feels a bit more mentally comfortable with it, and we shall see what happens. Felt like a nice bet, recent form and last year's result here considered.
Paul, who have you gone for at triple digits?
I had a look through the records for this, and there's been plenty of repeat winners. I think Tiger Woods is very obviously the case in point. 7 times here, but Phil Mickelson 3 times, Brant Snedeker twice, Jason Day twice as well. And that's all kind of within the last, you know, within that Tiger Woods kind of era. So there's plenty of players that have gone and got a second Farmers Insurance Open title. So that fits nicely with Max Homa. It also fits nicely with Matthew Pavon. I was really impressed with him at the Team Cup. And I know it's just a low-key starter for the DP World Tour season and a bit of a chance for Luke Donald to have a look at some of the players who may be on the fringes of his Ryder Cup team for later in the year. But I remember a couple of years ago, and I mentioned this on the pod a couple of weeks back, I remember watching that and being impressed with how Victor Perez was playing, and then he went on to win the Abu Dhabi Championship the week after. And had Matthew Pavon been playing last week in Dubai, I think I'd have been very hard-pressed not to have put him up last week. He wasn't. He's clearly come over here to get himself prepared for his defence of this title. But I think he can go well. I mean, he won 3 out of 3 matches with Romain Langasque in that Team Cup. And don't forget, that's when the Continental side were struggling big style against the British boys. That's, you know, he was one of the standout performers there. He played Tommy Fleetwood in the singles. And, you know, he was playing, he had to play really, really well to keep up with Tommy. Didn't quite get there in the end. Tommy was just a little bit too good, but he was playing some really nice stuff. So coming into this, I think he should be pretty confident, pretty pleased with how his game's going. Won this last year, as we said, 5th at the US Open last year. Pretty much entitled to put his feet up after that, kind of from October onwards. But yeah, coming here, pretty fresh. Given, and you've talked about the quality of the field in general, I don't see any reason why he can't go and you know, get himself into the mix. 100 to 1. I took 100 to 1 with 8 places, and you can get a little bit more. There's 125 out there if you want to go for the bog standard, but I thought I'd give him 8 places, give him the chance, and see if he can get himself into an each way paying position for me.
Excellent stuff. So I think we're done. Farmers Insurance Open, correct? All done? Yep. Don't forget, if you're listening on YouTube, please press that like button. It'd be fantastic to get over 100 likes this week. Right, Paul, Raz Al-Khaimah. We've been here quite a few times now, haven't we? So quite an established championship now on the DP World Tour schedule. Take it away.
Yeah, 4th time, actually, that we've played here on this course. 3rd time as the Raz Al-Khaimah Championship. There was a Raz Al-Khaimah Classic wedged in there as well, as they were working their way through the post-COVID schedules. But yeah, just a few miles up the coast from Dubai last week. Pretty standard 138, I'd make it this week, man event. So yeah, regular kind of tournament for the DP World Tour. No, you know, all of these household names that were around last week for the Dubai Desert Classic have disappeared largely. That's left us with Thorbjørn Olesen as the 12-1 favourite, the defending champion Olesen. Patrick Reed staying. He got a top 10 last week. 18-1 this week for Patrick Reed. Then we've got the likes of Ryan Fox, Tom McKibben, Keita Nakajima, 22-1, Jordan Smith, 25, same price, Johannes Veerman, David Puge, 30-1. Could enjoy this week. 33-1, bar those players. So, yeah, a bit down. Quite a lot down in terms of quality from last week, but still enough to get our teeth into, I think. Ball Sports this week, 10 places each way, 5th of the odds as standard. Now, they've done that on both sides.
They have, yeah.
I noticed this week. So, bit of a departure for them. But yeah, the prices are slightly down. But if you fancy just a standard 10 places each way, 1/5 market, then check out Ball Sports before you place your bet. Betfred, Bet365 both got 8 places, 1/5 of the odds markets this week. I actually placed all of my bets with Betfred this week. There were some really great combinations of odds and each way places early on with Fred. So to be applauded, they've been very aggressive in the recent times, Betfred. So well worth a look. Now, you talked about the course. We are, as you said, playing the same Alhambra Golf Club this week. Fourth event at DP World Tour level. There were also three Challenge Tour events held here over the years too. So we've got all seven results included in this week's stat sheet. So well worth a look to see who has played here before and who has played well here before, of course. It's a 7,378-yard par 72. It's a Peter Harradine design. Pretty regular 36-36 style setup, but the back nine is longer than the front. The way I see it is a lot of the scoring opportunities come in the first, well, certainly on the front nine and pretty much in the first eight holes. And then from there, it does get a little bit tougher. It's all relative because it's not a particularly tough course, but the easier, the more scoring holes do tend to come early in the round for those starting on the first hole. Four par fives here. The players, if they hit the fairways, they can have a go at the green. Three sub 400-yard par fours as well. Bit of a coastal vibe to it. Wide fairways. There are lagoons that can catch out the very seriously errant, but it's not a tough course, as I say. Paspalum grass has been used throughout from tee to green. So well worth a look at players who have played well in this kind of area before and also on Paspalum over the course of the years. Birdies and eagles, though, for me, that is undoubtedly the order of the day. The weather's not going to give any help to the course either, by the looks of it, to stop that being the key to this week. Dry, sunny, temperatures into the low 20s centigrade, so that's the low 70s Fahrenheit. Generally light winds as well. I'm not seeing much more than 10 miles an hour in the afternoons. Maybe the odd gust above that, but generally light winds. So that's going to lead to low scoring. And talking of low scoring, the seven winners that we've had here have all generally gone quite low, 15 under and beyond. Just to give you a flavour then, 2016, these are the Challenge Tour events. 2016 was Jordan Smith at 20 under. 2017 was Jens Dantorp, 15 under. Adrie Arnaus in 2018 at 17 under. It's all fairly consistent. Then we hop to the DP World Tour events. Nikolai Højgaard won this at 24 under. Ryan Fox won at 22 under for the Ras Al Khaimah Classic, the other event held here. Daniel Gavin's 17 under. And then last year was Thorbjørn Olesen at a massive 27 under par. So when conditions are good, when there's not much wind about, it can reap a lot of red and yellow numbers around here. Now, we've got stats from the last four events. All of the four winners were averaging over 300 yards from off the tee. Fox and Højgaard were considerably more than that, good 25, 30 yards beyond that as well. I mean, the stat to me that really sticks out, if you dig through the four winners, is that there's virtually no penalty here for missing fairways. Højgaard hit 23% of fairways, Fox 28%, Gavin's 21% of fairways. I mean, if you're hitting less than one in four fairways and still winning a golf tournament, I think that tells you a story. Even Olesen last year, he only hit 50%. Half of the fairways and won the golf tournament. So if you hit it long, go and find the ball, go for the green, make your putts. That tends to be the way to get the job done round here. Højgaard and Fox, in terms of strokes gained, first and second for strokes gained off the tee. Both of them were second for strokes gained approach, second and first for strokes gained tee to green. So the long game stats really stick out from here. Olesen was eighth off the tee, first for approach, first for strokes gained tee to green. And it was only really Daniel Gavin's who chipped and putted his way around here. Slightly windier than all that back in 2023, as was demonstrated by the 17 under winning score, which led to a slightly different style of winner. But this year, I'm not seeing any of that. I'm in my view, it's going to be one of these strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, tee to green, make some putts. Get yourself into the 20s under par, and that's where you'll find your winner. All four of the winners made 25 to 30 birdies on the week, so you've got to be putting well as well. Højgaard was 15 under for the par fives. Olesen last year, 14 under for the par fives. So when you stand on those long holes, you've got to find the fairway and give yourself a chance to make birdie or eagle by having a shy at the green. That seems to be the method of doing the of getting the job done here. All seven winners had a top eight finish in one of their previous nine starts. That's the only other stat I can really pick out of it. There's not much in terms of course history, and certainly the winners don't have much in terms of their previous history here to give anything tangible. Boiling it all down, I think that's where we need to work through, and those are the kind of stats that we need to form our opinion on this week. I've backed four. I've backed a couple near the top. I'll go through this in the interest of time. I'll rattle through my four and then I'll bring you guys in. Two near the top. Ryan Fox I've backed 20 to 1 with 8 places. You can get 22s with fewer places. I've backed him at 8 at 20 to 1. He's playing here this week, presumably before going back to America. I think he finished 118th on the money list, something like that. So he'll be back over playing PGA Tour golf again this season. But he's stuck around at Ras Al Khaimah for good reason. He won that one-off tournament, the Ras Al Khaimah Classic, as I said, back in 22. That was by 5 strokes. Looked good last week. He'd been resting that niggling hip injury. We talked about it on some pods in the autumn, and he was struggling a bit with this niggly little hip injury. Gave it a good rest, got back into practice around December, and by his own estimation, he's been playing some really good stuff in practice. And that shone through last week. 10th last week at the Dubai Desert Classic, Rolex Series level, of course. And it was the numbers that came out of it that really caught my eye, because he was dead last of all of the players to make the cut in terms of his accuracy from off the tee, but still managed to get top 10 in terms of strokes gained approach and strokes gained tee to green. Now, that is the absolute ideal combination from what we've seen around this Alhambra course when conditions are placid. Just hit it long. Doesn't matter where you hit it, as long as you don't find the water. Make sure you hit greens and make some putts. And when he found the green in regulation last week, only one player in the entire field putted better than him. So, and you know, coming to a far less penal course, if he repeats the kind of the way he played last week, then I think it gives him a really decent chance of winning this golf tournament. So, couldn't not put Ryan Fox in. Couldn't not stick with Keita Nakajima, 22 to 1 with 8 places. He was 21st last week when he was carrying our money. There were some eye-catching moments in there, I must say. You know, 21st doesn't earn us any money whatsoever, but enough to pique my interest again.
He started well.
He did start well, yeah. And there was some really good stuff in there as well. I mean, he very nearly aced the fourth hole on Friday, the par 3. Playing tough that hole, and played an outstanding approach to that. And it came through, hit the middle of the pin, and somehow stayed above ground. And then he closed with an Albatross 2 on the par 5 on Sunday on his 72nd hole, holding out from 236 yards. Oh, that's got to give him some confidence. And also suggests that he's attacking and going straight for these pins, showing no fear whatsoever. And I think coming to a course where there is far less penalty, and if you adopt that same approach and that same strategy, I think it's going to reap better rewards than it did last week. It was fourth here last year. That was when he was kicking off his rookie season on the DP World Tour. And he went on to win in India just a few starts later. So we know he's well capable. 4 times a winner in Japan as well. 24 under, 29 under, 2 of his wins over on the Japan Tour. So he can go low. 7th at the Earth Course in November in far, far, far stronger company than this. I think now that we're starting to see him play these courses for a second time, we're going to see the true potential of Keita Nakajima. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wins this week, I must say. Two longer prices, and then I'll bring you boys in. Ricardo Gouveia. I've backed 150 to 1 with 8 places. Again, you can get up to 175, a little bit of 200s out there with standard each way places. I've given him 8 places just to give him a chance of actually making me a return. Finished a pretty solid 14th last week in the end. And that was after he was tied for the lead after the first round with an opening 65. Third at the Genesis over in South Korea in the autumn. Now, that was the week that it was effectively his last start of the season. He needed a top 5 or better to retain his card. So under pressure, he went out there and produced a 3rd place finish. So for him, obviously, very welcome result. Does show some mental fortitude to be able to go and do that under pressure. Perhaps that'll wash through into his career from now on. 7 times a winner on the Challenge Tour, just hasn't quite got that breakthrough at the top DP World Tour level, but I think he's well capable. 2 of those wins came in the Middle East, actually, on the Challenge Tour. One at the 2015 NBO Grand Final. That was at Al Muj in Oman. And there's lots of agronomy links there, paspalum links, to tie it into this week. And more recently won the 2023 Abu Dhabi Challenge. So got some good form over in the UAE. Miscut 23rd here from his 3 starts, but he's open with a 65 on those last 2 attempts. So he can play the course, and I think he's playing well enough to do better than that this week. So we'll see how Ricardo Gouveia goes at a healthy 150-1. And then finally, I also backed Dylan Fratelli. Now, I got 175-1 yesterday with 8 places. He has been nibbled in. There's still some 175 out there with standard places. If you want the extended places, you're going to need to go a little bit below that now. But still worthwhile. Anything in 3 figures, I think, for a player who is, don't forget, he's a PGA Tour winner as well. He won the John Deere Classic a few years back, didn't he? 21 under. So, well capable Dylan Fratelli. Eye-catching stats as well last week. 10th place finish overall. Best result for very nearly a year. In fact, best result since he won in Bahrain last February. Now, he'll be defending that title next week. So I do look at that as a stat. I do look at that as a factor because, in my mind, a player coming into defending a title the week before, it's kind of freewheeling. It's pressure's right off. There's nothing to distract other than the fact that the next week is going to be defending when the media spotlight will be on him a bit more. So can go in there this week and just really strut his stuff. And after last week, open with a 73, middle rounds of 68, 67. They were amongst the very best middle rounds out there. Put him into 6th place going into Sunday. And of course, that's a much higher level than this. 8th for strokes gained off the tee, 4th for approach, 2nd for strokes gained tee to green. Really strong numbers, and should he repeat that, then I think he'll go close here. Again, a really healthy each way price. One in Mauritius, one in Bahrain, as I said, both of them share some agronomy with this. So lots to like. I really, really was enthused to see such a healthy price about Dylan Fratelli. So Fratelli's in, Gouveia, Nakajima, and Ryan Fox, my 4. You having a play on the DP World Tour this week, Barry?
I could struggle to differentiate or just pick one between the guys in around the 18 to 25. Like from an Irish fan perspective, it'd be great to see McKibben go well. And who knows what's going to happen if he's going to live or not. Like it just could be rumours. Maybe look. He used it, whatever it was, he used it well last week to finish 6th. So maybe he just keeps it lit and goes and gets it done. But I found it hard to pick one or two between them all. So I decided to go for a couple of kind of mid to outs. And the first one I went for is Frédéric Lacroix.
Yep.
Who finished 3rd here last year, missed the cut last week. That's fine. That can happen at that course. It's a bit of a brute. So I took him 50-1, 8 places.
Yeah.
Winner last year in August, and seems to go very nicely around this time. Well, this time of year last year went very nicely between the tournaments in South Africa and here in the Middle East. So gone for that. And then another one, just wanted something a little bit further out. Jaden Trey Shaper. It might not be long enough, but last week was a good 21st for a young player at a testing golf course. So we're just going to see how he gets on this week. Just he might,
yeah.
The freedom of scoring on this course might just let him run loose.
Yeah, maybe. There's a lot of potential with Shaper. When he finds that the ingredients that gets him over the line at DP World Tour level, then I think he's one of the players that is gonna go and win a few. But he's not been quite there yet. But yeah, in terms of his long game, I can see the logic of going with him this week. So we shall see.
Punty, all right, yeah. So let's see. Anyway, that's got me happily covered for the DP World Tour this week.
For a bit of interest, yeah, why not? What about you, Stephen?
I'm going to follow you in on Keita Nakajima, just because I like saying his name, really. Good enough reason, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a quality player, Steve. He's going to be one of those that ultimately gets himself a PGA Tour card this season or seasons to come, and he'll be adorning your stats and your previews, I'm sure.
Interesting. When you look at some of his wins, especially the most recent win, which was in India, played the week before in Singapore, finishes 29th. Sometimes you just get these sort of kind of biorhythms. Our players win, you know, some players win off the top 10, blah, blah, blah. But I think he's a good player, Nakajima, and this course suits him. The other one I like, and it just came to me as you were describing, basically it's bombs away off the tee and there's no penalty.
Yep.
And I just noticed yesterday when you looked at the raw strokes gained from Dubai, even though this player missed the cut, he was top for strokes gained on approach for the two rounds that he did play.
Mm.
Brandon Stone, the South African.
Yep.
Fourth here last year. Just rounding. It's definitely something brewing with Stone. There has been for a while. I'm a sucker for Brandon Stone, so I'm on at 40-1. Thank you to Ladbrokes. They're giving me 7 places each way on that.
Yeah, Stone, he also very nearly won that event in Oman a few years back.
He lost in a playoff to Falamarki.
He did, yeah, and that was on Paspalum.
Paspalum. Yep.
So, and yes, in terms of being able to give it a proper smack off the tee and... no penalty for his for anything wayward. Yeah, and I can see the logic, and he's well capable, very well.
No penalty off the tee, great on approach. Just need a spike week with the putter, and they do come. They're quite infrequent, but it did come here last year on these greens. So I'm kind of hopeful. Play Brandon Stone and Nakajima for me. Are we done?
Yep, that's it. All good.
That's it.
I hope your bets go well, gentlemen. I hope your bets go well, listeners. Don't forget, Wednesday start, the Farmers. We'll be back next week. We've got the signature event, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And what have you got, Paul?
It's the Bahrain Championships, yeah. So Dylan Fratelli defending next week.
Cool. We'll be back next week, chaps. See you soon. Bye-bye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf betting system, it's the golf.